T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, July the 14th, as we are officially 10 days away from Philadelphia Phillies baseball. Cannot wait. The excitement is there. It seems like the Phillies have a handle right now on who's in camp, on the testing. We haven't heard any other issues so far, which is really good to hear. It seems like actually around baseball, for the most part, we're not hearing the same type of issues we were when camp started up, which makes a lot of sense too. You know, you're just getting started. You're using that infrastructure that you put in for the first time and, ironing out the kinks. And we think that baseball has worked on that and should be in solid shape moving forward. Certainly the Phillies have not had any issues, which is nice, which is exciting. Again, it's one of those things that's sneaking up on us. You know, all of a sudden we waited so long for baseball to just start. And now all of a sudden it's right around the corner. It's really exciting. I can't wait for the Phillies to be playing some baseball. And I want to talk today about the uniqueness of the season itself. And, you know, we've not many really Phillies issues to discuss today. We're going to get into more discussion there. The one thing that we've already talked about is the open competition in center field between Roman Quinn and Adam Haseley. And, the hope that Haseley could win the job. I think Quinn gives you more as a versatile weapon off the bench and a fill-in. But regardless, outside of that, not too many lineup construction issues or whatever to discuss, and we'll dive more into the Phillies and how they approach this season. But I want to talk just in general about the uniqueness of this season itself and the many different factors. We talked a little bit about how different the game's going to look, how different the game's going to feel, what that's going to be like, and ultimately how I believe that is going to be one of the predominant factors in how this season is ultimately decided. Obviously, next week we'll start to get into some real season prediction stuff. You know, we're going to the 60 game season predictions, obviously how the Phillies will finish, playoffs or not, award winners, who's going to have a good season, who can we count on, all that type of stuff is coming. But just today, I want to talk again about the game itself and how unique and different it's going to be for a season. First and foremost, obviously, the 60 games alone, we all know how unique that's going to be, that it is 2 months of a season, and that's it. And the fact that, again, those first 10 to 15 games, really the first, thinking about it this way, the first 2 weeks of the season are a quarter of the season. We've done a quarter of the season in 2 weeks. 2 weeks into a Major League Baseball season, you're settling in to even start thinking about things. Again, I don't even really check the standings till mid-May, June, with any real veracity or anything like that. It's just, it all seems so meaningless early on because we know what a grind it is. We know what a marathon and not a sprint it is. And this is a pure sprint. This is going to be so unique to see how teams handle this. I think there's going to be so many fascinating managerial decisions earlier in the season. Teams playing to win games in ways they normally would not. Teams potentially using players in ways they would have not. Overusing pitchers. I know Girardi, we've heard him talk about the concept of you want to play to win every game, but at the same time, you also want to make sure that you don't overuse your guys, that you could get yourself in a situation where come the end of the season, you're down players because you worked them too hard and all that. So it's going to be a real balancing act. And I think that I've said this before as we've talked about Girardi, but I think having a manager who's got his finger on the pulse, a manager who can kind of know where his players are at, know what's going on in his clubhouse, know what's going on in games, how players are feeling, all that, it's going to be so important this year. It's going to be more important than ever. It's going to be such a massive factor on how this season plays out. And again, I think the 60 games of it all is probably the most unique part of all of this. And playing with no fans in the stands is pretty damn unique too, and we'll get to that coming up. And Matt Breen, a really good article on the Philadelphia Inquirer about what the Phillies are going to do this year. We'll get it again. We'll get to what the game's going to look like in Philadelphia specifically in a few. Outside of the no fans in the stands and how they're combating that, I think, you know, just the 60 games, the fact that this is a sprint to the finish is the most unique thing of this season. And it is certainly the most unique aspect of any baseball season that we've ever seen. The idea that a 60 game season will determine who's making the playoffs and who ultimately win the World Series, quote unquote, the World Series, is incredibly unique. And I think it's totally going to change the way teams approach the season, both the way they approach the season prior to the season and then how they approach the season on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. Again, like if you start off, again, if you start off 2-10, I mean, you're going to see teams start to think about next season already. Already. It's over. It's done. Certainly, especially the teams were expected to be that way. And as I've said many times, I think it's going to be a really unique season from a standings perspective. I think it's really hard to predict who's going to win it all this year because, again, more than any other year, yes, talent matters. Like I just said, I think managers will matter a lot this year. But I think this is the most unique year we've ever had in terms of it's really going to be which group of guys in a human way responds the best to these unbelievably unique and in a lot of ways difficult, scary, intimidating, whatever circumstances, whoever responds the best to that's going to win. You know, I know it sounds simple, but talent will matter. Don't get me wrong. But ultimately, I think the team, it's going to be a combination of talent manager and the team that has the guys that handle the situation the best. This is such a unique situation. Again, guys are risking their health, you know, at all times. That's something that's always present, omnipresent, hovering over this season. It's hovering over this season for us as fan base, right? It's like we talk about it nonstop. Where are they going to finish? This and that. What could happen? The testing, this and that. Like we're obsessing with it. Think about the guys who are there. Think about the players who every time they come near another player, a player on opposing team, this or that, they're thinking, you know, I don't know. I don't know. This is intimidating. This is scary. This is a risk at all times. So it's going to be what team, what players are best able to compartmentalize that, to take those outside factors, to take those human emotions and find a way to put them in the right perspective that they need them to be in order to go out and perform their task, their duty, what they do best. Like, I think that's something that we are not talking about enough, but is going to end up deciding this season, is mental toughness, mental fortitude, the ability to handle this situation. I truly believe that. And look, maybe it is the fact that not only are the Dodgers the most talented team, but the Dodgers also are the most mentally tough team. It could play out that way. We could see the Dodgers come in and use their talent and also be mentally tough and win a World Series. The Astros are one of those teams. But again, I think there's a certain level of talent where it's the Mets, the Phillies range, there are 12, 13 teams in baseball who in this unique year have just enough talent that if they get a combination of things, injury luck, for certain, that is going to be massive. Injuries are going to play a massive role in deciding the season, period, end of story. We all know it. COVID luck, same thing. You know, both those things combined, keeping your players on the field this season is going to be paramount to success. And it is going to be something that look, that's something that matters every year, right? You know, like injury luck is a massive factor of any season. This season, even more so, because it's such a smaller sample size, such a shorter game, so much higher variance. But in addition to that, I think mental toughness, mental fortitude, compartmentalizing, the ability to go out and play baseball every day and focus on that and put yourself fully into that, into the mindset you need to be in to have success on a night-to-night basis without letting those other factors overwhelm you. And there are going to be teams that are going to be worse at that than others, and there are going to be teams that are better at that than others. And that's why I think Girardi's so important, because I do think the person at the top on a day-to-day basis, that manager, can have a big impact on players' mindsets, on how they approach things. And I will say this Phillies team does seem to have a pretty good outlook, at least from everything we've heard and everything we've seen. They got a lot of baseball guys on the team. You know, the Harper, Romuto, McCutcheon, you know, triad at the top, you know, the guys who are kind of the de facto leaders of this team, it appears, are all baseball guys who seem invested, seem like they're having fun, seem ready to play. So, look, I think it's going to be unique. I think that's really the word. It's going to be unique. It's going to be unpredictable. More than ever, so much variance. Again, a team could get off to a 10-2 start and ride that to the playoffs. 10-2 and then play 500 baseball. You're making the playoffs. Think about that. You know what I mean? Like that kind of start, and then you're a mediocre team the rest of the way, you're making the playoffs because it's that small a season, that little time for other teams to differentiate from a record perspective. So, I mean, if you start 10-2 or 10-3 and you go 500, I mean, you're 6, 7, 8 games over 500 the rest of the, you know, in total at the end of the season, you're making the playoffs. So, it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be unique. I think it's so absolutely impossible to predict what's going to happen. I really do. I think it's going to be such a unique season. Obviously, you still, because we don't know who among these teams is going to have the mental toughness, the mental fortitude. Obviously, we can't know that. But at the same time, I do think it's going to be a factor. And I think it's not just going to be talent. Talent could be and will be a factor, as always, and manager and all that stuff. But I do think that the way players respond is going to make a massive difference on how the season plays out. And again, they're responding to a unique thing. Like we just talked about all the outside factors that could influence the season in terms of the COVID stuff and the ability for players to go and really focus on what they have to do and be able to compartmentalize and all that. But also, again, the uniqueness of the games itself. And I mentioned that Matt Breem article. I think now's a good time to mention that because it's not just going to be the players finding a way to deal with the uniqueness of a 60-game season with all these outside factors being a part of that season. And again, the COVID part of it being omnipresent throughout the season, throughout everything they do, every morning, all the testing, all that. It's omnipresent. It's part of it. It's everything. You know, it's just aware. They are aware of it. They are influencing everything they do. But also, again, like the uniqueness of how the actual games will work is going to be something that's very different for players. Baseball players are creatures of habit. I mean, that's how you do 162 games. You have routines. You go about your business. You have a way to get through habits, routines, all this stuff to get through the day, to get through the week, to get through such a long gruel of a season. And this season, a lot of that is obviously upended, you know, from obviously the COVID restrictions that change the way players go about things. And also, again, playing games in an empty stadium, you know, not being able to spit, not being able to high five or be near teammates, you know, not being able to potentially putting a mask on when a runner's on first base. Reese Hoskins has talked about that. He said when opposing runners on first base that he's considering wearing a mask. I mean, think about that, you know, and power, you know, good on him, you know, all power to you, all, you know, respect to that because, you know, that's smart. Be safe, be smart. But I mean, the idea that we'll be watching a baseball game and that the first baseman will be standing there with a runner on first and the first baseman's wearing a mask. I mean, that is, again, to use the word of the day, it's unique. It's unique. And I think it's all, obviously for us, you know, we're talking about how it's going to influence the players, but obviously for us, the way we view the game is going to be so massively unique and different. But also, again, for the players, let's dive into this Breen article because there is a lot of things the Phillies are going to be doing to kind of make it an interesting and certainly unique in-stadium experience. So Breen says, what does the Philly fanatic do without fans? How do you make an empty ballpark not sound eerily quiet? And what can you do with more than 40,000 unoccupied blue seats? We're trying to make it as normal as possible, Philly's Executive Vice President David Buck said, as the team prepares to play 30 games at Citizens Bank Park amid this pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic. Here is from the Breen article. He says, the Phillies will pump in canned crowd noise through their PA system. They will have cardboard cutouts of fans that will fill the seats, and the team's most popular mascot will roam the ballpark alone while practicing social distancing. So some thoughts here, and we'll go through this here. He says the Phillies will begin their 60-game schedule season at home on July 24th, and they are trying to make a season played during a pandemic not feel like a season played during a pandemic. Buck says, some of these meetings have been pretty interesting because there's so many different ideas, he said, of the team's plans. And some sound good until you say, how exactly would that work again? So the article goes on, the crowd noise, which will be audible on the TV broadcast, will be audio tracks pulled from Sony's popular video game MLB The Show. Weird. The Phillies will use the crowd noise on Sunday when they play an exhibition game against Baltimore. The cheers, maybe even some South Philly boos, won't be for just the game's big moments. Buck said it's a competitive issue because you don't want it to be so quiet in there. Say a catcher is moving inside or outside. You don't want the batter to be able to hear that. You want the batter to be able to hear the shortstop yell to the second baseman, move over to your left. You do need some ambient noise in there. You don't want to blare it out and be ridiculous, but you do need to be fair. Okay. Fascinated by this. I think this is such a fascinating aspect of this season, the fake crowd noise. I think those reasons all make a ton of sense. We heard Joe Girardi talk about that too last week, the idea that, you know, like a catcher, he mentioned that, a catcher moving from side to side, that a batter could know where a pitch is going because he can hear a catcher move. That's a fascinating point that I would never have thought of before, because you don't think about those little tiny intricacies that don't matter because they're fans. There's noise, you know. It's now, again, there have been games played with very few people in stadiums, so I do think that is maybe slightly overblown. You know, again, the Marlins have games where they have 1,000 people in the stands. You know, you're not hearing those 1,000 people that much that you can't hear something that close to you. So I think it might be a little overblown, but look, I think that it's going to make it feel a little more natural. Now, it is a hard job for the operator, whoever is in charge of pumping up and playing down and the ambient noise and, you know, when to you know, pump it and when to tighten it in and all that type of stuff. I think it's a tough job. It is a tough job, and I think that, you know, maybe it could have a learning curve. But I do think on a basic level, I think it will feel more normal to watch it that way. I think it'll be more comfortable to watch a game that way. And I do think that for the players in the stands, if nothing else, just from a feeling normal perspective, I think it'll help. And I do buy the, maybe not the catcher moving over one quite as much as, because that is theoretically audible in stadiums. But like, yeah, you probably can't hear the second baseman and third baseman going back and forth if there are 1,000 people in stands, or if there's any noise going on there. And I'm sure you can in an empty, cavernous stadium like that. So I'm all for it. I'm fine with it. I don't mind them having to do any of this type of stuff to make it feel real. But again, I do think there is the potential for it to be a little awkward on television and in person too, but for us, for the fans, a little awkward on television at first, and I do think there could be a learning curve for the person operating it. Like, you need to be on that. It needs to sound natural. Like, if there's a weird crowd swell at a weird time, it's gonna seem weird. So I think that's gonna be really fascinating to see how that plays out, how that goes, how, what kind of an impact that has on the experience of watching it, of whatever. Moving on, I do love the idea of the cardboard cutouts in the fans, because why not? I mean, I just think it's a neat thing when you're looking at it. Here's from the Breen article. He says, the fans might not be in the seats this summer, but they will still be given the chance to have their likenesses in them. Several teams have rolled out plans for fans to purchase cardboard cutouts to occupy the seats, and the Phillies should announce their plan soon. I love that idea. Love it. Love, 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 love it. Think about this. You're watching a game. You're a season ticket holder. You're watching a game. They pan by your seat and you see a picture of yourself in the seat. I mean, that's fun, right? I mean, it's fun. It's super neat. And if nothing else, look, it's going to look weird with empty seats to begin with if they're just all empty. Like, why not have the cardboard cutouts? It's going to look weird too, but at least it's fun weird. It's kitschy. It's different. It adds a layer of like good humor almost to it. Again, a layer of just fun and making it feel a little less, you know, a little less empty in there, even though it clearly is empty in there. You know, it's a little less, there's just something cool about the idea. Buck says they have something cool planned for the first three games of the cardboard cutout. So I think that's going to be neat. I'm a fan of the cardboard cutout idea, fan of anything unique like that to try and try and make this feel less strange, because it's gonna feel strange again. Even the air high fives, the this, that, like, there are so many aspects of this that are gonna be so unique, so strange watching baseball in this way that we've never seen, you know. And again, I think it's also gonna be, it's fascinating that the difference between the fan experience and the player experience this year, because obviously before there's fan experience in the ballpark and the players and the fans are sharing an experience in a lot of ways. Whereas now it's the players have this unique, weird experience of the fake crowd noise there and no fans, and they know there's no fans and the, you know, not being near players and all that stuff. And we at home are watching this unique experience for the players play out for us, which is also super unique. So I think it's just going to be such a fascinating season. I like that the Fanatics going to be there doing stuff. Buck said the first game he's not really going to be sure what to do, and then by the third game he's going to have three really cool plans. He'll be running around Ashburn Alley, even though it'll be closed. He'll be doing stuff like that. Like, why not? Let the Fanatic, as long as he's not, as long as there's no social distance issues and, you know, not near players and stuff, like, let him have his, you know, reign of the stadium. I mean, why not? Like, add some fun to it. Again, I think that anything that can be done this year in this season, especially, again, talking about the overwhelming level of kind of concern surrounding this season and concern going back to play. And obviously the virus is still running rampant in America, and certainly particularly in certain states that will have baseball games being played and all that type of stuff. So there's a general fear. Obviously there's a general just uncomfortable feel surrounding the season. And I think that any way that, you know, baseball can try and make it fun and make it look, again, to the point of, you know, the reason baseball is coming back is obviously for them, for money and all that. But for us, the reason we care about baseball coming back is that, you know, it matters to us. And obviously it doesn't matter as much as a lot of the important things happening in the world right now and happy in America right now, but it still matters. And culturally it's significant to us, and it's something that brings us together and something that we care about. And we talk about, and we analyze, and it takes up our free time. We want to give our free time to it. We want to think about baseball. We want to watch baseball. We want to talk about baseball. It's something that matters. And they're coming back. They're attempting to do this. And there's a lot of things to be scared of with that. There's a lot of fears and concerns and worries to have. But at the same time, they're coming back. And the whole point of them coming back, at least for us as fans, is so that we can enjoy it. So that we can have that distraction, we can have that source of entertainment, that source of love for us. We love the Philadelphia Phillies. We care about the Phillies. Like, that's something we can care about and can help take our mind off some of the tougher things that people are going through right now. And I do think there's a place for that. I think that matters. I think there's an importance to it. Again, on a small scale, compared to some of the other things happening, but it still does matter. And if they're going to do it, which they're doing it, like, have fun with it. Like, make it unique. Make it different. Put cardboard cutouts in the stands. Let the Fanatic have his, you know, have his, whatever he wants to do in Citizens Bank Park that is safe and he can do, to go do it and to put it on TV and show us that and have fun, you know, with the broadcast. Have Greg Murphy doing weird things with empty stands and talking to cutouts and just be weird. Have fun with it. Do this is so unique. It is a unique situation that we will hopefully never ever be in again. And I think that the Phillies should do this. I think they should really, you know, embrace the uniqueness of it and have fun with it, because I think that that'll help the players have fun. It'll help the fans have fun. And ultimately, baseball is coming back. We should have fun with it. Like, why, you know, it's either going to work or it's not. That's out of my control. It's out of your control. All we could do is appreciate that we have it while we have it. And that's what I'm going to do. You know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to appreciate it. I'm excited. I can't wait to see baseball again. I'm so ready for it. And I'm going to embrace the uniqueness of the season. I'm going to embrace the variance. I'm going to embrace again, I've already said, you know, I'm putting an asterisk on the title. It's not like I'm looking at this as some amazing accomplishment for whatever team wins it, but I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to have fun with it. I'm going to, like, root my butt off for the Phillies and be invested in it. Like, baseball's back. It's exciting. We waited a long time for it. I think it's okay to be excited about it and to embrace the uniqueness of the season, because it's going to be super unique. We just talked about it. 60 games, sprint to the finish. I'm really pumped. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm happy that anyone listening to this is probably just as on board as I am. And we're going to roll to the season together, and it's going to be super fun. And we're going to, again, get into some season predictions. We'll talk about the division. We'll talk about how the Phillies shake out against some of the other National League teams and how I could see this thing shaking out. But I think on a basic level, just today, the message is, you know, It's not perfect. It's not exactly what we wanted, and there's still a lot of reasons to be nervous and concerned. But baseball's coming back next week, and it's okay to get really excited about it, and that's where I'm at. So, everyone, stay safe. Say LD will continue to preview the Phillies this week, bring some excitement with baseball coming back, and kind of just make our way to next Friday. Give us Phillies baseball. That's what we need. So until then, again, stay safe, stay healthy, and thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.